Hey guys, welcome in. It is Brad with College Sportscast. We are here to do our weekend wrap-up show. This is our March Madness opening weekend edition. I think we're at week 32, season two.
Executed.
I heard a fan offer free dipping dots if I blew it.
Wanted to have some fun, you know, execute.
I had bombs.
Stay as a team, execute, give 100%.
All right, guys, welcome back. It's Brad with College Sportscast. I've got John Roberts on with me today. What's up, John?
Not a whole lot. Just trying to get back into the swing of things now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a very upsetting weekend for me, and I'm sure for you as well, John, in certain ways. I know you're a baseball guy, but you are an Auburn guy, and they got knocked out the next day too. So, I'm sure we'll get into all that, but I did a show a few nights ago. I've made my piece here. I've said what I need to say, but I will start with this. I'm over March sadness. I'm over.
Yeah, there's a lot of Auburn fans that are feeling the same way too. So
it's been a few years in the running for Kentucky fans, and I'm over March sadness. That's all I'm gonna say.
There you go.
I love March Madness, but I am over March sadness.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. All right. So off the bat here, I want to start the show off. If you are on our Facebook page has been growing weekly here. This week, we actually climbed over 1,500 on our Facebook page. So that is from when this season two started, we were at about 450 and we are now over 1,500. So we're doing really well. If you are on Facebook with us, you can help support us by sending us stars. Stars help us earn some money, and it will help us make more content here for you guys, as well as on our Facebook page. You can also subscribe now. It is 99 cents a month. That's all it is, 99 cents a month. You can subscribe, and that helps support us as well. So there's two ways on our Facebook page that you can support us now. All right, with that said, John, it is March Madness. And like I said, it is one of my absolute favorite times of the year. But of course, me and you got to talk about, the sad part of March Madness, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Auburn come in. They won the SEC tournament. They seemed like they were getting it all together. They had a little rough spot 2 or 3 weeks before the season ended. But they looked like they had put it all together. Broome was talking about they wasn't planning on losing again, and Pearl was talking, that the SEC teams are ready to make some noise, and the SEC is flat went. The SEC's been horrible in March Madness. Let's start with that in general.
Okay, yeah, that So, what was it? There were 8 teams that came in. 6 teams got bounced in the first day. And then Tennessee has won their second game in the round of 32. And Alabama plays later today, which is the other team, the other lone team remaining from the SEC. So, yeah, I mean, you had
the A&M still in it. They play Houston A&M today. I don't know what time.
Okay.
But
okay. Well, they're playing Houston, number one seed. I don't really see them getting beyond Houston. But then again, Buzz does put together some crazy game plans that could happen, but it's not. But
that's the kind of games that Buzz chances are not. In.
Yeah, it's still not.
It's the games that you think Texas A&M should win. That's the games that they play like crap.
Right, and if they're if Kelvin Sampson has his guys ready to, and they play defense and they're able to limit Taylor and Rogers. The other score for them,
Boots Radford.
Radford and Taylor, right? And those are the guys that can absolutely light it up for A&M. If they just limit either one of them to less than the season average or just keeping them, you know, making it where it's a hard time for them to score, then they have the best shot of winning the game. So,
yeah. But, I mean, just overall, the SEC, absolutely. I don't know what is going on with the SEC in as a whole, but they absolutely have to step it up in March.
Right.
I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's... honestly, the last few years has just been – and I don't really understand it. Like, these teams, I thought Auburn would make a run. I thought Kentucky would make – I mean, I'm not saying these teams were going to all get to the Final Four, but – I mean, two or three wins should be pretty much guaranteed.
Either make it to day two or make it to weekend number two. But, yeah, you know, when they're all getting bounced in the first day or within the first weekend, it's like, well.
Yeah.
And the one team that has had the early exit problems, like the massive early exit problems, that's where we're all making fun of them, is Tennessee, and they're making it to the second weekend, they're built like they should. I mean, that, you know, of course they should have made it to a second weekend or third weekend every previous years and got bounced in the first. But this is one where it was kind of I didn't pick them because I just thought that there would be one of those. Kind of what you saw with all the other SEC teams. I thought maybe it would happen with Tennessee just because it happened in the SEC tournament too when they played against, I think it was Mississippi State, and they got bounced from it on the first game that they played. So,
yeah, you know, it's just been a crazy, crazy, you know, I mean, listen, for a Kentucky fan, I mean, this is 4 years in the making. This is year after year after year after year now. This is not something that, you know, that is just a year or two or something like that. It's just not acceptable for Kentucky basketball. We are in a history of Kentucky basketball that has never, ever, ever happened before, ever. Not under any coach, not in the era of NIT and NCAA. We're going back 100 years. That we're in an era that has absolutely never happened before in Kentucky basketball. So I want to give you a couple of stats. In 22, before we were coming off of a losing season, by the way, that hadn't happened but once in 100 years, okay, in 21. In 22, when the tournament started, Kentucky against 12 seeds or higher was 27-0 in the NCAA tournament. 27-0.
That's pretty good.
Against 12 seeds and higher. That's pretty good record, I would think, to say. 27-0.
One would think. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Also in 2022, as a 1, 2, or 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, Kentucky was 19-0. 19-0 as a 1, 2, or 3 seed. We're sitting here today, a day or two over 2 years later, and suddenly we have lost two of those games, two first round games. They had only lost one time ever in the first round, ever.
Lost to a 15 and a third seed as a, or 15 and a 14 seed as a third seed and a 2 seed. So, yes. Yeah, that's so not good. 27-0, not ideal.
And 19-0.
Yeah.
And again, we were coming off of a losing season in 2022 that never happens. So we're talking 4 seasons in a row now. We are in an, this is an era is what we are in that is abysmal. And quite honestly, and John, you're a rival fan. Every rival fan in the country is laughing and mocking at Kentucky. And that's the truth.
Laughing, yes. Mocking, sometimes, yes. Enjoying it, hell yeah. That's exactly what's happening. Yep.
Every rival fan in America, in this country, in the world, to be quite honest with you, because there's college basketball's got fans all over the world. They
look,
really
look,
do.
As a fan of a blue blood myself, you know, in college basketball, we love to you hate to see it.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, John. It is. I woke up on Friday morning, and I'm just going to be honest with you. There was a pit in my stomach. I mean, I mean, March Madness has always been my absolute favorite time of the year, and it just, I don't know how to describe it other than that. I was miserable all day Friday. You could ask anybody that was messaging me. I was rude. I was ugly. I was mean. I was like, I'm not laughing at your crap. Don't even try to send me funny crap. I'm not, you know, I'm not LOL nothing. I'm not, you know, laugh emoji nothing. I'm not doing any of that. I was miserable.
Damn, I should have sent you something on that day.
I'm telling you, I was absolutely miserable. And I was telling people that I was miserable.
Yeah. I don't really get to that level. I used to, but that's not something that I've allow myself to get into. I don't get down like that. I used to do that, especially with football, just because football was the one where you thought you should win a lot more.
Thank you, James. I appreciate that.
With basketball, I mean, yeah, we should win. There should be several times we should have won games that we didn't win or whatever. Baseball.
I mean, I'm not so sure that Auburn should have made the Final Four or won the title this year, but they should definitely be playing in the second weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we should be definitely playing in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight or something like that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sweet 16 is when they would have played that UConn team. And, UConn. You know,
yeah, that would have been a great game.
That's where you would have kind of gone, okay.
Yeah.
This if is where the rubber meets game, the road. They make their run if they beat UConn, but they don't, like, it's a.
You know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know. And Kentucky, I'll just be honest with you, I thought Kentucky's path to at least the Elite Eight was pretty much there.
It was right there in front of them. They had it.
Yeah.
Because
they had a path to the Elite Eight, if you ask me. I mean, Marquette was there, but Tyler Kolek is not fully healthy, and they're not playing great. I mean, you know, so, I mean, to me, the path was set in front of them to at least the Elite Eight.
Right.
Where likely they would meet Houston. That would be an absolute tough game. Houston plays absolute great defense. And they have two guards that are just as good as Taylor and Radford that we talked about, Boots Radford from A&M, that clearly beat us a couple of times this year. So, I mean, if we would have lost that game, again, like John just said about the UConn game with Auburn, I would have been okay with that. I mean, I would have been upset that night, but the next day and this whole weekend and everything else, I would have been fine.
Right.
You know, if that happened, you know, Clyde, you say Cal has to go. I put it up here. I don't know if you're still with us, but I made a whole show on it right after the game on Thursday night. If you didn't catch it, Clyde, you might want to see it because I was a little upset and angry. Let's just put it that way. just a little bit. That's all. But I tried. There was some language. There's some language, but there's no F-bombs in it, I don't think. I tried my best to cut that one out. I know there's some damn and hell and shit and a few things like that, but I tried to cut all the rest of that
out. Yep. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I like I said, I tried. So if y'all listen to it and you hear one, let me know, because I think I did it without doing that. I think. All right. So March Madness is going on right now as we speak. There's one game final today that was on CBS earlier, and that's Marquette. Marquette moved on only by 4 points over Colorado, 81-77. So they did get to the Sweet 16. I expected them to get to the Sweet 16. They do have a really good team, guard-led. Tyler Kulik has been not healthy leading up to this. He had not played for a little while, missed some games. But he is back, but I don't think he's fully healthy. For Marquette. But they do get the win over Colorado, 81-77. We are in the second half with Purdue over Utah State. And they are right now demolishing Utah State, 64-39, with 14:48 to go in the game, it looks like, as long as my update is on target here. It may not be, if it may be a minute or two behind. I don't know. But there are six other games today. All of these games, and the next game starts in 55 minutes, and that's Duke versus James Madison. That's a 4-12 matchup on CBS. And then tonight, 5-10, Clemson and Baylor, a 3-6 matchup on TNT. TBS. At 6:10, these are central times that I'm putting up as well, guys, is Alabama versus Grand Canyon. That is a 4:12 matchup as well. And then at 6:45 on True TV is UConn versus Northwestern. That's a 1:09 matchup. Back on TNT at 7:40 is Texas A&M versus Houston. That is also a 9-1 matchup. And then the last matchup of the day today for the last spot in the Sweet 16 is where Auburn should be playing, quite honestly. And this is San Diego State versus Yale. This is a 5:13. This is on TBS at 8:40 Central Time tonight. So that kind of gets you up to date from the Sweet 16 games from today. John, do you want to run through the Sweet 16 games from yesterday?
Give me just a second. I'm over here looking at the – I have today's games. Let me pull out yesterday. Here we go. In just a second. I have yesterday. North Carolina defeats Michigan State 85-69. Arizona defeated Dayton 78-68. Iowa State took out Washington State 67-56. Tennessee knocked off the other UT, Texas, 62-58. That one went down to the wire. It started out as a big lead for Tennessee. Texas came back, and Tennessee was able to hold them off. Tennessee
played ugly in this game, though. They shot horrible.
Yeah. And then Illinois looked like they didn't have much of a problem with Duquesne, 89-63. Creighton, I think, had to go to at least one overtime. Double overtime. That game
was amazing last night. If you didn't catch the Creighton Oregon game last night, it was a really great game.
Sorry. There was an ad going off on my anyway, so that went into double overtime, 86-73. I believe Creighton kind of pulled away once the middle of the second overtime.
Oregon ran out of gas, it seemed like, honestly. Right. Oregon had won, I think they did 4 games in 4 days, where NC State was 5 in 5 days or whatever. And then they had won on Thursday and then playing again on Saturday. So, I mean, they had played like either 6 or 7 games in like 9 days or 10 days or something like that, you know?
Right.
And then they go into double overtime, and they just look like, honestly, they look like they just ran out of gas.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it looked like. But Oregon, they beat South Carolina. They're the team that beat South Carolina that I thought South Carolina was going to. I mean, I'm not saying when the bracket come out, I realized the Oregon-South Carolina game was probably going to be a toss-up. But a few weeks ago, before the tournament started, I really thought the South Carolina team was going to make a little noise in the NCAA tournament. Lamont Ferris done an absolute fantastic job with this South Carolina team. They were preseason picked dead last in the SEC. He done an absolute great job. Tennessee yesterday, they were 3 of 25 from the 3-point line and won the ball game.
Yeah.
3 of 25. Now they snuck it out 62-58, but you still won an NCAA tournament game and shot 3 of 25.
Exactly.
I mean, it is survive and advance. And maybe, I'm not saying they will, and you all know I'm a Kentucky fan, but maybe Tennessee did just that on their off night, and they can, you know, and they will play better. So Creighton and Tennessee play each other now in the Sweet 16 next week. So that should be a good game, to look forward to. And NC State, I got to talk about them for a minute. I said Oregon had won. I think they had done 4 in 4 days, and NC State done 5 in 5 days.
Right. They were one of those bid stealers that came in and won late, that won their tournament.
And won the ACC tournament, first time since 1987, to be quite honest with you. And you got to give them a shout out. They also went into overtime versus Oakland, the team that beat Kentucky. But anyways, they also went into overtime and pulled it out by 6, 79-73. And you got to give NC State, I mean, they too had played like 7. They had played 7 games, I know, in like 9 days or 10 days, something like that. As of last night, I mean, they had been playing a lot of basketball. And to come through in overtime like that was pretty tough to do. Kansas, their season ends. It's not a real surprise, but they got beat. They were down 20, plus 25. They got beat plus 21, I think, something like that, versus Gonzaga. I mean, it was Gonzaga. They didn't get beat by Oakland. They didn't get beat by Yale. So I'm not even going to put that out there that people act like that I'm talking bad about Kansas, okay? They got beat by Gonzaga, which is a total different thing.
Than being beat by Samford. Or being beat by Samford, with a bad call at the end of the game.
Yeah. I mean, right. Yeah. So, you know, it's a, I agree with you on that. There was a bad call on that. There was. I, to be honest with you, I picked Sanford to beat Kansas because
so I did that.
I so picked, did I. Yeah. I picked, yeah. Yeah. I really thought they would. Arizona beats Dayton by 10. So Arizona bounces back from a first round knockoff last year. As a two seed, they're a two seed again this year. And they make the Sweet 16, which is, you know, if you are a 1-2, especially 1-2 seeds, I mean, right. You almost think automatically you should make the Sweet 16.
Right.
You know, if you're, and usually a 3 and a 4 kind of think that way too, but a 1 and 2 for sure thinks they should make the Sweet 16.
Right, right.
But all yeah, right, so, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying that I mean, like, look, Kansas, they didn't have what they still not have McCullers in that game. Is that what the
no
I know they were without I know they were yeah. without him in the first game, so without him in the second game. Yeah. And so it's just you had a Gonzaga team, which I didn't think would go very far, but still, but I mean, I didn't really think Kansas was going to go very far in this one, too.
They come on in February and done, like, they beat Kentucky, they beat St. Mary's down the stretch, and you got to give them a little bit of credit to come in because I didn't think that they would make the Sweet 16 either. You got to give a huge shout out to him. I'm going to finish talking about it with this on the men's side. Mark Few has made the Sweet 16 for 9 consecutive years.
Yeah.
That is the second most ever consecutive appearances to North Carolina's 13. That's the second most ever. Okay. And we're talking about a coach who coaches a mid-major program at Gonzaga, and he does not get enough credit and love that he deserves. I know that Gonzaga gets some limelight. I'm not going to say that, but the coach itself, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he has done at Gonzaga.
Right.
I mean, he's just done an absolute amazing job. The teams around him in that list of consecutive Sweet 16s are the Dukes and the UCLAs and the North Carolinas and the Kentuckys. And the only one that seems out of place when you look at this list is Gonzaga.
Right. And it's only happened in the last 25 years as far as like them being like a relevant program.
And guess how long Mark Few's been the head coach of Gonzaga?
About 25 years.
25 years.
So I know when they were making those I was in high school when they were making their miracle runs. When they were making their Cinderella runs with what was it? Adam
Morrison.
Adam Morrison, that's right, the shooter, the long-haired white boy shooter that they had. Adam Morrison with the little stash that he had going. Yeah. that was back in high school, but it just seemed like that they were consistent. So then here's the deal too. They were consistently that 12 team that was always winning the 12-5. Creating that 12. They were the number 12 team. And then everybody started catching on that there was a 12-5 upset all the time. And it happened to be that it was Gonzaga was one of the reasons why that trend really started, because they were the team that was always in that 12 spot until as they kept doing it with more and more consistency and elevating the program. And then the scheduling got better when they started playing the likes of the Dukes and the North Carolinas and the Kentuckys during the regular season. So it wasn't just 2 games with St. Mary's and winning their tournament and getting in. It was that they actually had a season where they were going through. Yeah, they started playing them, and then and they would travel and go play them. You know,
because they started getting invited to these preseason tournaments,
right?
And none of that used to happen.
Nope.
Before Mark Few,
right?
So you got to give him just a huge amount of credit for what he has done, and on top of that, the man spent 10 years as an assistant at Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coached their head coach now for 25 years. What I'm telling you guys is that the only place that Mark Few has ever coached is Gonzaga.
Right.
And he's been there for 35 years. Now that is loyalty.
Yes. So absolutely. That's that's nuts. So
yep. All right, guys. I'm gonna move on and go to the women's tournament real quick. We are doing a bracket challenge in both of these, and I'll talk about that just at the end of it, but I want to give you kind of an update. Today the women's tournament is played from Friday to Monday.
Yeah.
Instead of Thursday to Sunday, like the men's tournament. So today is the first games that are going to send the teams to the Sweet 16 instead of the second games in the men's tournament. LSU and MTSU are in an absolute battle right now. LSU, the defending champs, are ahead of Middle Tennessee State 46-45 with 3 minutes and 42 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Well, let's be fair too. Okay, LSU and their coach Mulkey has had to deal with some off the field issues with a particular story that's either come out or was threatened to come out by the the Washington Post. Blasting the Washington Post.
Yeah, Washington Post. It's the Washington Post. Yeah.
Okay.
And honestly, they didn't play good in the first round game. They won by 10 over a small school. This was a 3-14. And in the women's game, 3-14s, I mean, they don't upset three seeds very often. But they only won by 10 and was only up like 5 or 6 with, you know, a couple of minutes to go in that game. And now they are being pushed by MTSU, Middle Tennessee State. And I'm not saying Middle Tennessee State's 11 seed. They beat Louisville the other day. They have a girl. Her last name is Wheeler. She looked fantastic the other night. I watched part of this game. She had 22 points, I think, like 8 assists. I mean, she looked fantastic. She's the point guard for this MTSU team. But we're talking LSU, guys. I've seen them play personally. I went to the SEC tournament. I've seen them play live 3 times. They are loaded with talent. Flaje Johnson, I mean, Haley Van Lith, Angel Reese, Morrow, last year Poa. I mean, they are loaded with talent. And they have had some distractions this year, all the way back from the very beginning of the season. So it's been a tough season for them. But I will be shocked if LSU gets bounced in the second round as a 3-seed defending champs, to be quite honest. Oregon State is a 3-seed up 28-17 on Nebraska, the 6-seed right now. And then we have 3 games that are final, and this one's a little bit of a shock. We have a pretty big upset in the women's second round here. The 2-seed Ohio State goes down to Duke,
ooh,
the 7-seed. Ohio State, the last week of the regular season, was ranked number 2 in the country behind South Carolina. They had beaten Iowa early. And then they played Iowa in the last game of the year where Caitlin Clark set the record, the Pistol Pete record, and they got beat in that game. Then they lost in the SEC tournament, or not SEC, Big Ten tournament early. They didn't even make the finals. And now they've got bounced in the second round. This is a big, like, it's a terrible ending for Ohio State, the women's team here. They got beat 75-63 by Duke. I mean, Duke's got a great team. Like I said, they were a 7 seed, but honestly, that's kind of a shocking score, and it's definitely an upset. The 2-7 here, I would definitely consider that an upset in the women's tournament. Also, South Carolina absolutely demolished North Carolina, who was an 8 seed. It's a 1-8. Of course, South Carolina is the undefeated number one team, and I've seen them play 4 or 5 times this year. They are absolutely – I mean, I said LSU has got talent, but South Carolina's got even more talent. I mean, they are just unbelievable. They win 88-41 versus this 8th seed North Carolina team, who's not a bad club, guys. Like, this is not a team that you would think would get beat almost 50 points in the NCAA tournament. And then the other game was a 4-5 game. This is not an upset, but the 5 seed wins, beats Kansas State. Colorado wins 63-50 and makes it to the Sweet 16 for the Colorado women's team. And then there are 3 games yet to play today. Alabama and Texas play each other. That is a one. Texas is the 1 seed. Alabama is the 8 seed in this one. They play at 5 Central Time on ESPN. A 4-5 matchup with Virginia Tech versus Baylor with the exact same records. So this would not be an upset. Plays at 7. And then later on tonight, number 2 seed Stanford, Cameron Brink and Stanford plays tonight versus number 7 seed Iowa State. And it's at 9:00 Central Time. So one last little look. Score-wise, LSU has moved ahead 57-49 now. They're 8-point lead against MTSU with 59 seconds to go in the third quarter. And, yes, women's basketball plays quarters.
Yes, they do.
Just in case y'all think I'm crazy or don't know what I'm talking about.
Right, yep.
Just in case. All right, real quick, tomorrow's games, you got a 2-7 Notre Dame versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss is the 7 there. 3-6 is NC State versus Tennessee. That should be a really good matchup. NC State's got a great women's team from the ACC that really should have a shot, outside shot, of making it to the Final Four. But this Tennessee team has really come on lately. I have seen them play in the SEC tournament as well. They've been playing really good. Rekia Jackson is just playing lights out. And I think she's going to be a top 5 WNBA pick. So, you know, look for her to have a good game here tomorrow. You got Syracuse and UConn, a 3-6 matchup. Paige Buchers, Aaliyah Edwards goes there. Tomorrow you've got Indiana-Oklahoma, a 4-5 matchup. You have Iowa, Caitlin Clark versus West Virginia, a 1-8 matchup tomorrow. That game is at 7 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. UCLA, who has been all the way up to number 2 in the polls, is a 2 seed. They play Creighton. It's a 2-7 seed tomorrow. That should be a good game. USC versus Kansas. USC, if you have not watched them, has a freshman by the name of Juju Watkins that is flat, filling it up. She's averaged 27 points a game as a freshman, y'all. 27 points a game. She was named All-American, AP All-American, as a freshman. And then the slate ends tomorrow night with Utah Gonzaga. That's a 4-5 seed tomorrow night, 4-5 seeds. And there's your Sweet 16, well, to make the Sweet 16 matchups in the women's tournament. All nice. Right, John. We will move to some SEC college baseball updates.
Yep. All right. And
I know that's what you've been working on while I was talking about the women's tournament. So
yeah, I was having to write down some scores just to kind of go through some of the weekend scores and stuff like that. So, but I think every game is final except for the Florida LSU game, which is going on right now. And I actually have that one on my iPad right next to me. I was watching the Georgia Bama game and it went final, and then I changed it over to the Florida LSU game, which that is a battle right now. But we'll start with Auburn just because, again, that's the school that I'll be covering. And Auburn this weekend also played Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
I do have an Auburn update there for you, too.
For Auburn baseball?
Yeah, for Auburn baseball.
There we go. So then, yeah, we'll start with Auburn right now. So okay. Auburn played their series against number one Arkansas. So this is number 23 Auburn. We can go with all the different rankings. They started out this week ranked by, let's see, Perfect Game, we were number 17, D1 Baseball 23, College Baseball Foundation 23, USA Today 24, and the National Collegiate Sports Writers Association. They fell out of the rankings this week, being swept by Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt last week. They started the week off this week by beating, I believe, South Alabama in Montgomery. So in the Capital City Classic, so they beat a very good South Alabama team, which I think took the series from Troy, which was at one time a ranked mid-major team. They were one of the better mid-major teams. South Alabama, I think, took 2 out of 3 from them. So Auburn has done really well in the midweek. They have not done great as far as the SEC because of the fact that they were swept in their opening SEC weekend. So this weekend they hosted number one Arkansas Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The first game, Hagan Smith, and if you haven't heard of this guy before, please pay attention now. Hagan Smith is a left-handed pitcher for Arkansas, throws in the mid-90s, and has a ton of strikeouts. He had one game where I think it was the one of the tournament games that they had a few weeks back. I think it was week one or week two, I think, of the season. That tournament game that was week two, that's what it was. He threw 6 innings, 17 strikeouts, I believe. If you haven't done the math right there, that's
almost every three. Yeah.
That's everybody but one guy.
that's
every out but one guy, right? And I think he had a walk and like a hit or two that he'd given up or something like that in that game. That was nuts. Okay, so that's crazy to strike out everybody but one, and you went 6 innings. So yeah. I think he went 6 innings, 17 strikeouts. So there's only a possibility of 18 outs that they could have gotten in those 16, in those 6 innings of work. And one of them was, I think, a ground ball out. So anyway, against Auburn, he went 6 innings. He had 12 strikeouts. So that's 2 strikeouts per inning. He was very good. It was a pitcher's duel. Auburn threw about three guys in the game, and they also did really well. The only The only run, it was a 1-0 Arkansas victory. The only run came via home run. It was a up and away fastball that was up and away to Aloy, and he hit it oppo into the Arkansas bullpen. And that was the one lone run in the Thursday night game. Yep. There was another, and then on Friday, not as much of a pitcher's duel. There was some runs that were scored. Arkansas did win the game against 6-5. So another one run game. Auburn was keeping pace with the number one team in the country. The problem was they just could not get the timely hits. They would get bases loaded. They would get guys in scoring position and then strike out, strike out, however you want to, you know. Right. There was several different iterations of that, and it just could not seem to get the big hit to get the to break the game open. In Saturday's game, they were down early, 4-0. Got a couple runs on a Cooper McMurray home run. Then gave up a run, made it 5-2 early. They were able to claw back into the game. Once it was 5-5, I think, who was it that hit it? I believe Manners hit a home run early. Cooper McMurray hit one late. And then Ike Irish sealed the deal with the final shot in the game and hit one off the scoreboard in the eighth inning, I believe, to cap off all the scoring there, and they won the game. Auburn won the game 8-6. So Auburn was able to take one. They are now 1-5 in SEC play. They are, I believe, I think they're 14-8 overall. 15-8 overall. They are 15-8 overall. They are 1-5 in the SEC. So they will travel to Texas A&M next weekend. It will be again a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. This week they did change up their pitching lineup. They had their normal Tuesday guy pitch on Thursday as their quote unquote Friday night guy, and he did fantastic.
Is SEC doing just one of those per week?
Typically there's 1-2 per week so that you could show it on the SEC network and it's on TV. Okay. Series becomes a TV series for the actual SEC network, not just SEC Network Plus. Okay. They do that, but this weekend being the weekend of Easter, about half the teams are playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so that there's nobody that's going to play. Yeah. So usually, I mean, there's still going to be about 2-3 games that are going to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the traditional Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but there will also be about 3 or 4 games that are going to go Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week because it is Easter.
That makes sense.
Yep. So the Auburn series this week was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There was also the Mississippi State, Texas A&M. That one was also Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And in game one on Thursday, Texas A&M won 6-3. Game two, Mississippi State evened it up with 5-1 victory. And then Texas A&M took the series in game three yesterday, 6-1. Ole Miss and Tennessee, these are all now Friday, Saturday, Sunday games. Now, there were several games that were impacted by weather, so they played doubleheaders on Saturday. I don't exactly have the list of those right here, but I think the USC Vandy series was that way. The Alabama Georgia series was that way. And there may be just those two series that may have been impacted by the weather where they played two games on Saturday. They didn't play on Friday, two games on Saturday, and then a game today. So Ole Miss and Tennessee, Tennessee won game one Friday night, 15-3. And that was a run rule game. So after 7 innings, they were done.
Yeah.
So that is that they have won, I believe they're 17-0 or 18-0 at home, or not 18-0 anymore. I think they're like 17 or 18-1 at home, and 2/3 of those, if not more, have come by double digits. I've been 10 runs or more.
Yeah.
So that's it's just the way Tennessee's offense at home is pretty unbelievable. They do play up on a hill, and they do get the wind tunnel going in a smaller type ballpark. So when they get the wind tunnel going, ball tends to fly out of there. So South Carolina's old ballpark was definitely like that too. They were up on a hill, and they had a wind tunnel, and it was all you had to do was hit a pop fly, and the wind would carry it. So, yeah. Their new ballpark, I don't think, is exactly like that, but their old ballpark definitely was. I remember that 100%. All you had to do is get a fly ball on a good windy day, and it was out of here.
Yeah.
So, Ole Miss even the series up on Saturday with an 8-5 victory, and then Tennessee again 10-run ruled Ole Miss in 7 innings with a 15-4 victory today. So,
Ole Miss again, swept last weekend, right?
Ole Miss did not sweep last weekend. I don't think so. They were not one of the I think there was only 3 teams that swept. I thought it was Kentucky, Arkansas, and Vanderbilt. Those are the 3 that swept last week.
Okay.
So Vandy swept, Arkansas swept, because Arkansas swept Mizzou, Vandy swept Auburn, and Kentucky swept y'all swept somebody.
Georgia.
Georgia. That's right. Y'all swept Georgia. There you go. So yeah. Kentucky, Missouri. Kentucky won game one Friday night, 6-1. Yep. They won game one Friday night, 6-1. Game two on Saturday was a 2-1 loss to Missouri. And then they were able to take the series 7-6 today against Missouri. So Kentucky now has a 5-1 SEC record. Missouri is 1-5. Like I said, Missouri is going to win maybe, 3-4 ball games this year. I just don't think they're going to win that many within the SEC. But we'll see.
I don't think Kentucky played up to what they had been playing this weekend. Didn't seem like, they had 2 one-run games, lost 1-1-1. And a 2-1 tells me that their bats just wasn't
right.
Just
either pitching was really good or bats were just not that great at all.
But I don't
see combination
the pitching being that spectacular with Missouri when they're that
not bad. From Missouri side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Missouri side, I just don't I don't really truly believe that.
Right. I don't either. And that's why I say it seems like their bats just kind of left them this weekend, probably.
Right. Yep.
Would be what I would think.
Right. The next series is actually the one that is currently going on right now. It's Florida, number 6 Florida at number 5 LSU. Game one, LSU took 6-1. Game two, Florida even the series at 6-4. And currently, with Jack Caglione on the mound, Florida has an 8-2 lead at LSU. This is the bottom of the 6th inning, and they just recorded the 2nd out. So Jack Caglione, again, a name you should pay attention to. There are several names within these series here that that are SEC players that you need to pay attention to. Jack Caglione is one just because he is a first baseman. He's very much a Shohei Ohtani type guy. He's a first baseman, left-handed hitter that can drop bombs left and right, and he throws gas. So from the left side. So he's
a two-way player.
He is a two-way player. He starts on Sunday. He typically is the first baseman Friday and Saturday. And I would expect, and I haven't actually paid attention to Florida on the midweek, but I would expect he's the DH in the midweek. So
yeah,
you're not going to take him out of the lineup as far as hitting, but you could have somebody else play first base, during the midweek. Give him a night off or something like that as far as being in the field. But on the weekend, he's going to
He'll be drafted this year as well.
Okay. Yes, I think so. I believe this is his junior year. I think last year he was a sophomore, so this is his junior year. And there are several that you can be drafted as a sophomore, but you have to have your 21st birthday within a certain amount of period, a time period within the draft. So I think he is a third year. So this is his year to be drafted. And he will be last
year, but he is this year, I think.
Correct. Correct. He was not draft eligible last year. Otherwise he would have been drafted last year.
Yes.
He had all these same statistics last year. He's just continuing what he was doing last year, this year. Yeah. Several other guys. You've got guys with LSU. Tommy White used to play at NC State, played his freshman year at NC State, played last year with the LSU Tigers. This is a repeat. This series right here is a repeat of the National Championship Series. Because it was Florida versus LSU, and LSU took 2 out of 3 against Florida to win the national championship last year.
To go to LSU here,
correct,
and possibly get 2 out of 3 at LSU is a pretty big deal.
Right. So yeah, we're going into the top of the 7th inning right now. Florida up 8-2 in this game.
Yeah, that'd be a huge series win for them if they can win at LSU.
Right. And so moving on, there is Alabama, number 11. Alabama was at unranked Georgia, and Georgia swept Alabama 9-5, 6-5, 10-5 today. Georgia's Charlie Condon, their center fielder, and this guy, another name to watch out for, hit 3 more home runs. He's hit, I believe, 17 or so for the season already. Yeah. So when you really think about, you know, maybe 21 games in or so, 21, 22 games in, and he's hit 17 bombs, that is an unbelievable pace. I believe you can add 10 more over the last 10 games from the end of last year. So he's probably in the neighborhood of 27 to 30-odd something bombs. If you go into the last several games of the year last year. So it's unbelievable. Draft eligible junior Charlie Condon, and he is just absolutely on fire. And he is their center fielder guy. Looked like he had a hand cannon. I saw him, you know, at least
he got a sweep last week against them. That's
yeah, so Georgia is not picked highly against, you know, as far as in the East. I believe Missouri was picked dead last, and Georgia may have been picked right above them as like 6th in the East. And then over in the West, I think Auburn was like, what, 5th or 6th in the West with the two Mississippi schools, pending on where they wanted those two Mississippi schools to be. As to where they had Auburn right in front or right in between the two Mississippi schools at the bottom of the West.
After 2 weekends here, where's the SEC standings?
So let me pull these up just because I can, if I am sitting here really trying to do this, it's going to be a little bit harder. So I'm just going to pull it up.
There's 6 or 8 SEC teams ranked.
Probably more than that. Let's see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Nine
SEC teams that are ranked. So within the conference here, Kentucky leads the East 5-1. This is the East. Kentucky at 5-1, South Carolina 4-2, Florida 3-2 with the possibility of evening up with South Carolina at 4-2. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is 3-3. So they had lost a series last week 2-1. They won the series this week 2-1.
Right.
Georgia is 3-3. Missouri is 1-5 at the bottom of the East. Okay. In the West, Arkansas is 5-1, having swept last weekend and then taking 2 out of 3 at Auburn this weekend. Texas A&M is 3-3 after having won the last two series or losing last week 2-1 and then winning this week 2-1. Mississippi State is also 3-3, having done the same but in reverse order. Ole Miss is 3-3. LSU.
So Ole Miss didn't sweep. They just won the series 2-1 last week.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
I got you.
LSU is on the verge of being 2-4 in the conference. Alabama is now 2-4, and Auburn is 1-5 at the bottom. Auburn will go to Texas A&M next week, and if it give me just a second, I'll pull up next week's schedule so that everybody is aware of where everybody is going. So it is Thursday. Thursday is where everybody, where we will see most of these games. All right, it'll be Auburn at Texas A&M, Missouri at Vanderbilt, LSU at Arkansas, and South Carolina at Alabama. Those are your Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Friday, Mississippi State at Florida, Georgia at Tennessee, Missouri. Let's see. Yep. Let's see. Let's count those. 1, 2, 3, 4. So I need 3 of them. So Mississippi State at Florida, Georgia at Tennessee, and Kentucky at Ole Miss will be your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday series.
All right. So Kentucky and Ole Miss play.
Yep.
Auburn,
yep.
Texas A&M.
Yep.
And LSU, who could be sitting at 2-4, has to play Arkansas.
At Arkansas, you're gonna have the best pitcher in the conference going Friday night or Saturday. Are they a Thursday series? Yes, they are. So Thursday, they'll be up against Hagan Smith. Again, a really, really good southpaw. So that one will be a very fun one to watch. In Arkansas, I expect that stadium to be packed out. I think it seats 11,000 to 12,000, and it's like a minor league ballpark, a pretty decent sized minor league ballpark, and it will be packed out.
All right, so we're going to be doing, John, like I said last week, is covering Auburn baseball this year. And we're going to be doing these baseball things probably at least on Sundays like this, and talking a little, especially SEC baseball, Auburn and SEC baseball, and doing just a little segment here on the show about it. So that was this week, and we're going to wrap this up pretty quick, but I do want to talk about our College Sportscast CBS Bracket Challenges and give you a little bit of update here on them before we wrap this up. We have on the men's side, guys, just so everybody knows, we had 47 entries in our bracket pool this year. And like I said, our Facebook page is really growing. It's really been helping and kind of getting out there a little bit more. I covered women's basketball this year, Kentucky women's basketball. John's doing Auburn baseball. We're kind of building a little something here. So we had 47 brackets entered in. Jason Poole is leading the brackets right now as we speak. He has 45 points. He's actually leading by 4 points over the second place guy. Jason Poole, again, is leading the brackets currently. He's done excellent, to be honest with you. He's only lost like 8 points off of his grand total. I don't know how he's doing it because there's been so many upsets and my bracket's terrible. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. But Robert, and I'm going to mess up this guy's last name, Solovibil. I'm not sure how you say it. S-O-L-V-I-B-I-L-E.
Solvable.
Solvable?
Dissolvable.
Yes. Oh, are you on there too?
I'm looking at it right now.
Are you looking at it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's second. John, you might be able to say some of these names better than I can.
Maybe.
You might even say, I was just going to kind of run through the top, you know, top 10 or so here.
Yeah. Yeah. Next one's going to be a fun one, too.
Yeah, Steven the Vasiljek.
Yeah.
Vasiljek.
Yeah. You're reading what looks like a Russian name exactly like you would read an American name. That's probably not how it's.
It's probably pronounced. You're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has 40 points. He's tied for third.
I think from here on, you're gonna be okay from here on. I think you'll be able to pronounce everybody.
George Merrick, he's tied with George Merrick and Jerry Carter. Jerry Carter's on the program all the time with us. They all have 40 points. And then one of my friends, Roscoe Dowling, is tied at sixth. He's tied with one of John's friends, Travis Jennings, a guy that's been on our show, Rob Logan. His son, Lucas Logan, is tied for sixth, and he's a teenager. Lucas is a teenager. Adam Roseberry, who was with the Fanboys as a writer, is tied for sixth. Kathy Roy is tied for sixth, and she is a Big Blue fan and watches the show. That's the top. Actually, 11.
It jumps because everybody's tied at six, so yes. it jumps to 11.
Yeah.
And the DeFan boys, one of the DeFan boys co-creators, is in that range right there with Jay Jacobs.
Lauren Hayes, a friend of mine, Lauren Hayes.
Right.
Joe B, Sean Bode, Anthony Wireman. Wireman is tied for 11th in our bracket as well. So Wireman is a UK social media guy, kind of just like I am, and is on our brackets. So
yeah, you don't have to go down. You don't have to go down as far as where we are because we're
no. That'll get you to the bottom. I have fully admit my bracket is about as bad as I have ever done.
Be quite honest.
So the first round. The worst, I actually tied the worst that I had ever done. I got 19 of the games right.
Right.
And I had done it three other times. So it's not exactly the worst, but it's tied for the worst that I have ever done. So I'm not even going to mention mine. Like I said, that's the top 16 in our men's bracket. In our men's pool. And then I'm going to give you an update on the women's. Now the women's bracket, we didn't have quite as many in the women's bracket as we do the men's. I tried to get more in. But to be honest with you guys, we only have 7 people in the women's bracket, but that also means that somebody has a good chance of winning home field apparel 20% off.
I've got the home field apparel Auburn baseball tee right here.
Right.
So, also, you know, with home field apparel, let's just go ahead and do this with home field apparel. So home field apparel, a vintage t-shirt and premium. Just apparel. Premium vintage apparel company started with a guy that graduated from Indiana is where it actually started out of Indiana. And they have over 180 universities that they have or licensed apparel from 180 universities. including several of these, if not all of the ones that are currently in the NCAA. Actually, it's not all of them, because I know of one that is not in it, and they have attempted to get that team in, and for whatever reason, the school does not want to do it, and that's sad. It makes me sad that that school does not want to participate with home field apparel, but all the other home field apparel teams, those are fantastic designs. Again, vintage look. It's very much old school.
There's over 180 teams, collegiate teams.
Correct. Including Auburn right here. So they do have several of the big schools, if not most of the big schools. And then they have several of the mid-majors and stuff like that. So they even get down to, again, we have a lot of dealings.
I had somebody ask me about Coastal Carolina recently, this week, actually.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Jay has somebody that is covering, his name is John as well.
Yes.
He's in our group now. And he went to look for Coastal Carolina stuff from Homefield, and apparently they don't have Coastal Carolina. But
well, we should be paying attention. But they do have Furman, as far as the fact that we cover Furman Joust, or you know, with the Furman Joust, and the Greenville Sports Media covers Furman. So there's Furman in there. There's several other schools. Believe.
Oh yeah, there's, like I said, there's over 180 schools.
To pick two.
Yeah. So I mean, just continue here real quick about the women's bracket update. So right now, this we are in the third day. This is the first day of this going to the Sweet 16, the second round here in the women's bracket. Alfonso Henry is number one with 33 points. Lauren Hayes is number two with 32 points. Kathy Roy is number three with 29 points. I am tied with Josh Hart for number four. Me and Josh are tied for number four with 28 points. Bobby Wilson has 27, and John Hammonds has 26.
Just to finish off that home field apparel thing, again, if you go and you make your first purchase, type in code CSCAST for 15% off. We want to make sure that you are typing in CSCAST, because that helps us out with our partnership with home field
also, apparel. Also, this month, we are on Greenville Sports Media the entire month. We are the home field, our link is on the website at Greenville Sports Media. If you go to Greenville Sports Media, it's at the top right corner, says home field, a home field apparel on it. And you can click that link and it will help us. That's one of the support things you can do, because we do have a direct link, but I can't really put a link up here. It doesn't, like, you can't, it's not something you can click. But we do have a direct link, and the way to find that is you can find it at our link tree. It's on our link tree, College Sportscast link tree, or you can go to Greenville Sports Media this month, and at the top of the page, you can find a direct quick link, and you can shop home field apparel, and you can help us here at College Sportscast.
Well, and our water. Well, Florida has. Yep, go for it.
Each one of these is going to get. Hang on, just a minute. I'll put it on the screen and show it to you. Hang on.
Yep. While he's doing that, and a quick update into the Florida LSU game. Florida has expanded the lead. It is now 10-2 with a home run by Florida. Yes, 10-2 in the top of the eighth inning.
So. Quickly, I'm not going to show that part, but I have some home field. These are home field, all right? And I'm not going to show this part. I'm going to cover that up. But 20% off. I've got two of them, 20% off. So the winners of the bracket challenges will get a code to scan that will give you 20% off at home field apparel.
Remember when I told you to pay attention to Jack Caglione?
Yeah.
Oppo Taco. He just went opposite field and hit it over the stands and off the scoreboard out in left field.
How many is that for him this year?
Let me see if they'll put up the thing, if they'll put up a graphic for it, but that is
like 30 or 31 or something like that last year, if I remember right.
That is a massive one right there that he just hit, because that one went a very long way. They've got seats behind the left field wall over there. He is a left-handed hitter, so that is opposite field for him. There are seats behind the left field wall. He hit it over the seats and hit the scoreboard that is behind those seats. So off the bottom of that scoreboard, but that's where he went, and it was a no-doubter. So it is now 11-2 in the top of the eighth. And LSU is making a pitching change.
Sounds like Florida's going to win 2 out of 3 at LSU to me.
Yes, barring a massive comeback in the last two innings. They've got two at bats to be able to come back.
Right.
So
okay, so update on the women's bracket. I told you guys it was a 1-point game against LSU and MTSU in the third quarter. Apparently, LSU woke up, and they finished the third and the fourth quarter and won 83-56. So, and then there's one other game going on right now in the women's bracket, and that is number 3, Oregon State, 6-seed Nebraska. Oregon State leads 33-27. That is what is going on in the women's brackets right now. In the men's side, Purdue demolishes Utah State 106-67, almost 40 points there. I told you about Marquette, Colorado earlier, and Duke and James Madison just tipped off. It's 5-2. So if you are a Dukes fan, Duke or Dukes fan, because James Madison's the Dukes.
Dukes or Duke?
Yeah, if you are a Duke or Dukes fan, you might want to be watching the game because it just tipped off. Yes, all right, John, we're going to wrap this up, man, but I appreciate it. It's been a good show, and we will see you guys on Tuesday, most likely this week. Maybe Wednesday, because we might just do a pick'em show like we did last week, me and John, and pick the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games like we did, and do it on Wednesday since the tournament's on Thursday starts. So it's either going to be Tuesday or Thursday, or Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure. I do have a filler out for a possible guest on Tuesday. So if I do get the guest, then I definitely will do a show on Tuesday night. So, but I can't tell you that yet because it's not set. So, but I do have a filler out for a possible guest. That's all I can say about it for right now.
Yes.
All right, guys, we will see you either Tuesday or Wednesday night, and I hope you guys enjoy your week, and hopefully, not like us, your team is still playing.
Yes.
Have a good night.
All right. See you.